Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. It's an honor for me today to announce our guest speaker, Maulana Sulaiman Rawat of Farooq Institute Africa. Without further ado, I call upon Maulana Sulaiman Rawat. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله العلي الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى. أشهد أنه لا إله إلا هو، له الأسماء الحسنى، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صاحب المعلم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. محمد رسول الله، والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماهم، تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا، سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable Ulama, respected brothers, mothers and sisters, beloved youth, listeners and viewers, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had sent approximately 124,000 Anbiya for the guidance of mankind. At the end of that chain of messengers and prophets that were sent for the guidance of humanity, Allah gave to humanity Muhammad bin Abdullah as the final messenger. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not just a prophet, he was not just a messenger. There were many things that were different from the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First difference, he was the lead and the greatest of all the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa sallam. Ana sayyidu wuldi Adam wala fakhr, in his own words. Another difference is all the books that were written to the Anbiya prior to him were not granted preservation. Allah had not given the guarantee of preservation, but when it came to the Quran, it was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah said, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun." Another difference when it comes to the prophethood, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was every other Nabi was sent to a locality, to a tribe, to a nation. When it came to Muhammad bin Abdullah sallallahu alaihi وسلم, Allah said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. You have been sent unto the entire universe. You have been sent and your message will prevail up to the end of time. Another difference when it comes to the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that Allah granted him a group of companions who continued the mission after his demise. This was something which elusive to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The other Anbiya were not granted that kind of group that could continue the legacy of the Nabi that came. And today, throughout the country, in various masajid, the theme of the talk is Sahaba, the noble companions of Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Like he was the greatest Nabi, his companions were the greatest of companions. Not in my words, but in the words of Allah in a hadith al-Qudsi. In Allah Azza wa Jalla Imam Ahmad narrates this hadith that Allah says, I created creation and then I looked into the hearts of all of humanity, found that the purest heart was that of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I chose him for myself and I made him my beloved. Then I looked again into the hearts of all of humanity and I took the purest of hearts and I chose those people to be the companions of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah made the Sahaba the benchmark for all of humanity would follow. When the world kutum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas, that you are the best of nations. Who were the first people that were addressed in this? Obviously, every Muslim is addressed up to the day of Qiyamah. But the first group to be granted the title, the first group addressed in that particular verse was the Sahaba. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought Islam. But the Sahaba are the ones who exemplified it, who took it to the various parts of the globe, showed what it means to live Islam, what it means to be a Muslim. They continued the legacy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, this term that I'm using, Sahaba, it's a very common term. From the time you're in school, from the time you're a youngster, perhaps even a toddler, you hear in reference to Sahaba. Here the scholar is making reference to the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That this was a Sahabi, that was a Sahabi, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Fatima, and the list goes on. What is the definition of a Sahabi? Who is a Sahabi? Simply put, without becoming too technical or too scholarly, any person who saw Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam whilst he or she was a Muslim, and they remained on Islam and passed away on Islam, then that person is considered a Sahaba or a Sahabi. Irrespective of whether they participated in any expedition or not, whether they narrated any ahadith or not, if in the state of Iman you saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and thereafter you passed on in the state of Iman, then you are considered to be a companion of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the status of Sahaba in Islam? What is our belief with regards to Sahaba? There is a principle amongst the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah that as-sahabatu kulluhum adul, that all of the Sahaba are considered to be noble, virtuous and trustworthy. All. Because when Allah chose them to be the companions of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah would not have chosen those who were not trustworthy, who were not noble, who were not virtuous. Allah would not have given them the greatest stamp of approval. Words, radiyallahu anhum waradu an. Allah is pleased with them, they are pleased with Allah. But in Islam, we keep everything in perspective. We do not romanticize things. You have the angels. Allah has created the angels such that they don't commit any wrong. They don't have the capacity. Then you have the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. They are humans. They're not angels. But because they were meant to lead by example, Allah made them ma'soom. Allah protected them from the ability and the capacity, because they had to be the example. And then you have the Sahaba, and the scholars use the term mahfuz. That mistakes. Our belief with regard to Sahaba is not that they were infallible, they made mistakes, but Allah protected them from any punishment. Mistakes were as a result of them leading active life. Their mistakes, also because in the divine plan, Allah wanted to show us that when you make a mistake, this is how you ought to respond. Because humans are prone to weakness. Humans are prone to shortcoming. So Allah wanted to show us within the example of Sahaba that when you do something wrong, this is how you rectify it. When you do something wrong, this is how you rectify it. But shortcomings in the Sahaba were the exception. The norm in the lives of Sahaba were very steadfast on the deen of Islam, on nobility, on virtue. So whatever mistakes they made, Allah Himself is saying that I have forgiven them because I am pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. Radiyallahu anhum waradu an. So they have their level. We will not elevate a Sahabi to the mantle of a Nabi or to the category of an angel. But from amongst the Ummah, they are on the uppermost tier because it is their blood, their sacrifice, their wealth, their commitment which laid the foundation of Islam. Here in Cape Town, the southernmost tip of Africa, you and I proclaim the Shahada. We read the Kalima. We congregate in the house of Allah to glorify the oneness of Allah. Muhammad bin Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not reach Africa. Companions did. And they are the ones who took his message to the various parts of the world. And it is by their dedication, their support, their commitment, their sacrifice, their wealth, their everything that laid them for that Islam which you and I subscribe, which you and I belong to, which you and I on the southernmost tip of Africa, we are forever indebted to the Sahaba. We are forever indebted to the Sahaba. They made mistakes, but their mistakes were not like ours. They made mistakes, but they had the guarantee that Allah given them. We don't have that guarantee. We need to understand what is the status of Sahaba. What is the rank of Sahaba? So let's take a look at it from the perspective of the Quran. I just want to share with you, in brief, a few verses of the Quran. Let the Quran talk to us about Sahaba. Let us understand the rank of Sahaba in the words of Allah Himself, not the words of any scholar or any human. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who brought Iman, وَهَاجَرُوا, they made hijrah. They sacrificed everything to fulfill that command of Allah. When Suhaib Rumi radiallahu anhu was leaving Makkah, the Meccan polytheist stopped him. You made all of your money in Makkah. If you want to leave Makkah, you have to leave every cent that you own behind. He left it without any hesitation in compliance to the command of Allah. Wahajaru, they made that hijrah. Wajahadu fi sabilillah, they strove in the path of Allah. Whether it was in the battlefield of Badr, where they were heavily outnumbered, on the battlefield of Uhud, where they suffered a huge setback, on the battlefields of Khandaq, where they had stones tied to their bellies because of excessive hunger, and their families and their entire city was lying vulnerable to the coalition of forces that had gathered to them. They strove for Islam. وَالَّذِينَ آوَوا وَنَصَرُوا. And then the other category, the Ansar of Medina, who welcomed the Muhajirin, who shared with them, who opened their homes and opened up their hearts. So after describing who they were and what they did, look at the action Allah gives the Sahaba. When we talk about Sahaba, it's because we make up a pedestal, or we have come up with a mantle for them. This is in line with the words of Allah. In reality, we cannot even do glorifying Sahaba and to extolling the virtues of Sahaba. Look at the words Allah uses, and those who understand Arabic will notice the emphasis. Allah says, these Muhammad, these Ansar, these Sahaba who stood in the path of Allah, ذَلَكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّى, they are the genuine, the true, the ultimate believers, the ultimate Muslims. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا. If you look at other verses of the Quran, I don't have time to elaborate in greater detail. Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ حِزْبُ اللَّهِ. If there was a people who could be part for Allah, it was the Sahaba. أُولَٰئِكَ. In reference to Sahaba, Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانِ. Their iman and their faith was so strong that Allah says it was inscribed, it was engraved on their hearts. You and I, we may have iman, but we have no guarantee with regards to the state and preservation of our iman. Sahaba ulika kataba fi qulubihimul iman. That iman was inscribed, it was engraved on their heart. It was that iman that spoke to Abu Ubaidah on the battlefield of Badr, where his father continued him an obstacle between him and the fulfillment of the command of Allah. And he had to take out his own father to fulfill the command of Allah. At the time of Badr, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had a son, and his son was with the enemy. And some years later, his son said, "My dad, you know, there were many times day of Badr when you were within range. If I could take you out, I would have taken you out. But because you were my father, I abstained." Abu Lahan replied and said, "My son, I love you. And for a father to hurt his child is unimaginable. But if I saw you on the battle of Badr, I wouldn't have spared you, because there to stand up in opposition to Allah and His Nabi. My iman is greater and more dear to me than my love for my own children. My iman is greater, dear to me than my love for my old children." You know, today you meet any revert, any ordinary revert, and you ask him, even if he reverted to Islam yesterday, you ask him, "What's your wish?" He'll say, "I want my parents to become Muslim. I want my parents to become Muslim." That's the desire of every revert to Islam. Imagine Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the greatest companion, the greatest friend of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 13 years in Makkah, his father is not embracing Islam. 8 years in Medina, his father is still not embracing Islam. Imagine the pain that he went through, because he understood iman and in a way that we can never understand. And he knew what his father was being deprived of. Of Makkah, his father is now old, blind, Abu Quhafa. And finally his father says, "I'm now ready to embrace the deen." Imagine the ecstasy. Imagine the delight and the happiness of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So the Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu takes him by the hand, and he brings him to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was the response of Rabbul Alameen? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Oh Abu Bakr, this is the old man. Why did you inconvenience him by bringing him to me? You should have told me, I would have gone to him. You should have told me, I would have gone to him." When Abu Quhafa stretches out his hand to take the bay'at of Islam, this is the dream come true of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He starts crying, he's sobbing. The Sahaba congratulate him and they say that, "We understand you crying tears of joy that today finally is accepting Islam." And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu stuns them. He's shocked, saying, "No, I'm not crying tears of joy. I'm crying tears of regret." They say, "What do you mean?" He says, "My greatest dream was for my father to accept Islam. My Nabi's greatest dream was for his uncle to accept Islam. I'm crying today out of regret that if only I could be pulling back my father's hand and I could be pushing forward the hand of Abu Talib, so that my dream can remain unfulfilled, but my name can become fulfilled." That was Sahaba. They taught us the definition of love for Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why Allah says, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اهْتَدَوْا. If you can become a Muslim like they were Muslims, if you can believe like they believe, then you are rightly. They are your benchmark. They are the standard. You want to strive for excellence in Islam? Like in everything else, when you want to strive for excellence, there's a benchmark, there's a standard. When it comes to the stand being a believer, when it comes to the benchmark of being a Muslim, then Sahaba were it, and they are it, and they will remain it. That is the decree of Allah, inscribed and engraved in the Quran, in those verses, amongst others which I have shared with you. Then if we go to the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with regards to the virtue of Sahaba. So I've shared with you verses every Friday, or many times we hear in the khutbah, خَيْرٌ نَسِقَ The best of people are those from my generation, and then the generation after, and then the generation after. So the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were the best of generations, the best of people. The Nabi of Allah said, La tamassu an-nar, the fire will never touch those people who saw me. And it was the Sahaba who saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a state of faith and in a state of iman. That's why, as I said, Sahaba made mistakes. They did. They were not infallible. But it's not for you and I to sit in judgment of them 1438 years later. Because whatever mistakes they made, Allah has already said they are forgiven. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has already emphasized that they will not see that. So whatever mistakes they made, that was part of the decree of Allah. You and I, we got your forgiveness for our mistakes. Let's look at their virtue, let's look at their greatness, let's look at their acts. As I said, mistakes in the life of Sahaba was an aberration. It was an occasional thing. In the main, they were focused and they were determined and they remained committed to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even on a scale of logic, obviously, as Muslims, we first subscribe to what's in the Quran. Then we look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Logic does not come first for us, but on the scale of logic. If you take Sahaba equation, there is no Islam. It's as simple as that. If you take Sahaba out of the equation, there is no Islam. Because every verse on was narrated to us by who? Who were the first addressees? Every time Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, who was being addressed first when that verse was revealed? So if you take the Sahaba out of the equation, there is no Islam. If you start taking certain Sahaba out of the equation, you're knocking and you're cracking the foundation of Islam. Because every verse narrated to us by Sahaba, every hadith, every action, every statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then, as I mentioned early on, who gave the Nabi of Allah refuge? Who supported the Nabi of Allah? Whose money was there in the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Whose money was expansion of Masjid al-Nabawi, Uthman bin Affan radiallahu an? Who bought that well when Sahaba didn't have water? Who funded the expedition of Tabuk when the Roman superpower of the time wanted to annihilate and obliterate from the face of the earth? Who was it? Not you and I. We cannot sit in judgment what Sahaba did and what they didn't do and their actions 48 years later, when Allah has given them an accolade which is unmatched and will never be matched. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, Allah, Allah fi ashabi. Every Friday we hear this in the khutbah. Allah, Allah fi ashabi. Be very careful when it comes to my companions. Be very careful when it comes to my companions. You harm them, you harm me. You harm me, you hurting Allah. You hurting Allah. When it comes to my companions, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hold your tongue. Hold your tongue when it comes to their mistakes, when it comes to their shortcomings. Let's take a look very quickly as we move towards the conclusion with regards to some example for Sahaba that talk to us about the level of the iman and the level of their sacrifice. If we look for an example at Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, there is one narration of Tirmidhi where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that there are many people in my life. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm giving you the summary of it, the crux of it, because time not allow for me to narrate to you the entire Arabic text and translate and then still explain. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, many people have helped me in my mission as a Nabi. Many people have helped me. But I've repaid everyone in some way or the other. But there's one man whose kind, whose generosity, whose solidarity, whose friendship, whose companionship, whose dedication, whose deed, I can never repay. And that is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laid bare his heart. And he said, you know, the reality of this is, لو كنت متخذا خليلا غير ربي لاتخذت أبا بكر خليلا. It been that I've given my whole heart to Allah, that Allah is my, had it not been for that, Abu Bakr would have actually been my closest and bosom companion. What greater accolade can there be? What greater accolade? If you look at Umar radiallahu anhu, one day Aisha radiallahu anha asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, ya Rasulullah, they were sitting, husband and wife, having a romantic moment under the skylight, looking at the sky, and there were millions of stars sparkling on the horizon. And Aisha radiallahu anha says, Rasulullah, is there anyone from your companions whose good deeds are equivalent to these millions of stars that we are seeing? And the Nabi of Allah, without any hesitation, he said, yes, Umar, Umar. And then she said, because she was after her father's daughter, right? So she said, Abu Bakr. And the Nabi of Allah said, Umar's good deeds are the equivalent of these millions of stars that we see. But Abu Bakr's one good deed is the equivalent of all of those millions of Umar's good deeds. There are so many names in the most authentic of sources where the Nabi of Allah, myself, Abu Bakr and Umar. Abu Bakr, Umar and I, they were the constant companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you take a look at Uthman radiallahu anhu, you know, just yesterday I read something, because my talk last night as part of this whole Sahaba Jarif was in Grass Park about Uthman radiallahu anhu, and it's a regret I read it only afterwards. Somebody sent it on a, but I'll meet you today. They say, look at the day Uthman radiallahu anhu was martyred. Look at the day Uthman radiallahu anhu was martyred. It was a Friday. It was a Friday. The best of days on which to die. He was fasting. The best of states in which to die. The night before, he saw a dream. And in the dream, he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr and Umar, and they told him, tomorrow, Uthman, you'll break your fast with us. Read the Quran. And when they finally took his life, his blood spilled onto the copy of the Quran, and that is still preserved up to today. So the scholar writes that there are many martyrs, there are many who sacrifice their lives for the cause of Islam. But show us a martyr who died on a Friday, who saw the Nabi of Allah the night before in his dream, reading Quran, and whose blood was spilled on the Quran. And the whole reason he was martyred, at that time he was the Amirul Mu'mineen of a strong Muslim empire. The whole reason he was martyred is that he did not want to advance against and cause bloodshed in the name of him preserving his own authority and his own rule. Can they be a greater martyr than that? When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married his daughter Ruqayya radiallahu anha to Uthman radiallahu anhu, what was the advice that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave? Said, my daughter Ruqayya, look after him, because from all of my companions, his conduct is the closest to my conduct. For from all of my companions, Uthman's conduct is the closest to my conduct. Every Sahabi was great. We are indebted to every Sahabi individually and to all of the Sahaba collectively. Because of them we have Islam. Because of them we have the recipe for salvation. Because of them we have Quran. Because of them we have Ahadith and Sunnah. Because of them we have Salah and Zakah and everything else. Yes, of course, amongst the Sahaba they were those who were greater than others. They were those who did more. But the entire collection of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had emphasized that Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. As we wrap up, I want to touch on one point. Sometimes a distinction is made between Ahlul Bayt, the companions or rather the family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the broader Sahaba fraternity. And in reality, this go down that particular route, because the Ahlul Bayt were part of Sahaba, and Sahaba were also part of Ahlul Bayt. Because those who were part of the house sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were also the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, Sahaba, as I said, were humans. They were not infallible. They had some issues at times between one another. They had some differences. But their hearts never bore any enmity, any resentment, and they were always united at heart. They were always united at heart. People try and make the distinction between those who were the household members of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the rest of the Sahaba. And there's no need to make that distinction. For example, Ali radiallahu anhu was part of the companion, the household members of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who would call Ahlul Bayt. Yet when Umar radiallahu anhu passed away, and the body was being uplifted just after his soul had departed, the narrator of this is who? Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu. And he says, I heard somebody back say that, oh Umar, may Allah have mercy on you. Oh Umar, may Allah have mercy on you. I have great hope that Allah is going to be kind to you. Why? Because so many times in my life, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, myself, Abu Bakr and Umar. Abu Bakr, Umar and I. Bakr, Umar and I went here. We did this. We came from here. We're on our way. Whenever the Nabi of Allah referred to himself, he coupled it with the names Abu Bakr and Umar. And Abdullah bin Abbas, who is a household member of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his cousin, when he's narrating, he says, when I look back, it was none other than the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Amirul Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, who was paying this tribute to Umar an. And Ali radiallahu anhu was saying, Umar, Allah have mercy on you, but I have hope that Allah is going to be kind to you because of your closeness to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we look at it, Ali radiallahu anhu, who was the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he got his daughter, Kulthum radiyaha, married to Umar radiyallahu an. When Ali radiyallahu an got married to Fatima radiyallahu anha, who was present? Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman. And this narration is in Bukhari, radiyallahu an said, for me to maintain ties with the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is more important than for me to maintain ties with my own family. So we should not wander into this territory to try and see whether there were these irreconcilable differences between what is being termed Ahlul Bayt, the members of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the broader fraternity of Sahaba. They may have had their differences, as I said, from time to time they were humans, but they had no resentment, they had no animosity, they were united at heart. When Uthman radiallahu anhu's house was sieged, the first person to offer him support was Ali radiallahu anhu. After he was killed and assassinated, the first person to curse his killers was Ali radiallahu anhu. So our belief as Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is, As-Sahabatu kulluhum adul. Every person who saw the Nabi of Allah in the state of Iman and then died as a Muslim, all of them are part of the fraternity of Sahaba. All of them have got that accolade of radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. They are pleased with Allah and Allah is pleased with them. I leave you with this one incident. One day there was a great scholar and somebody told him that hypothetically speaking, if Allah had to tell you that make one dua, make one supplication, and I guarantee you acceptance. Make one dua, make one supplication, and I guarantee you'll accept it. What dua will you make? The scholar was thinking, without hesitation, he said, I'll make this dua. That, O Allah, that love that Sahaba had for Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, grant me just a fraction of that love. Sahaba taught us how to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahaba narrate the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam how we do. They lived the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah grant me and all of us the ability to have true love for Sahaba, to learn from Sahaba, to implement the values and the teachings of Sahaba, and to spread the message, not only of the values of Sahaba, but of the status throughout the Ummah and throughout the world. May Allah grant me and all of us the tawfiq. Wa sallallahu wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We say shukran to you, Maulana Sulaiman Rawat of Al Farooq Institute, Africa.